Good morning. Thank you again for joining us for our online service this Sunday. I do appreciate you tuning in to listen with us. Hopefully you're doing well. The weather has changed, gotten a lot warmer up here, and we're thankful for that. Also thankful this past week we were able to have Brother Brad Strand on our midweek service, and really enjoyed getting to hear from him. And hopefully there are a couple other guest speakers that I have in mind for that midweek service. Hopefully we can continue to have folks. It's certainly an easy way to hear from other people and to even see them through the Zoom meeting that we do. If you haven't yet gotten a link or have not yet gotten me your email address to send you that link, please feel free to contact me either through my phone number, which is 603-748-9455, or through my email, which is timjenn, T-I-M-J-E-N-N, at juno, J-U-N-O.com. And I'll get you that link so that you can join with us for the midweek service. Trust that you're doing well. I know that for the most part, things are starting to get some semblance of back to normal. I know that our president is trying his very best to push that along, and there's a series of phases that states can go through to start instituting and implementing having people back to work, having things open back up, stores, restaurants, businesses, different things like that. So want to continue to pray for that, for those that obviously are very impacted by it. And I do think and believe that for the most part, North Dakotans have been doing pretty well, though I know there are some that have been hampered, but grateful that for the most part our church has been spared any of that, and trust that you're seeking ways to be a blessing and an encouragement to those around you, those that are hurting. If you do think or know of something or someone that needs some assistance or some help that we can be of assistance or help with, again, please reach out and let me know, and we'll do our best to accommodate and meet those needs as they arrive. Today we're going to be in Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, I'll read from verse 10 down through verse 18. I've titled the message, Doing Battle with Satan. For the most part, we, again, have done very well through the church here, through everything that's going on in the world. But I'm not ignorant, and I hope that you're not either, that just as this is an opportunity for the Lord to do some wonderful things, it's an opportunity for the devil to engage and discourage and basically mess with people's minds. I know that being in self-quarantine and staying indoors and not being able to get out as much and do things as you would normally can have a profound effect on people's condition mentally. And, you know, Satan's going to want to cause people to be depressed, cause people to be discouraged. And as believers, we have a hope in Christ, and we have a faith, and we have a joy. And we need to recognize when the devil is doing his work and be prepared to do battle, not just through a pandemic, not just through a sickness or a trial, but at any point in time, we should be ready to do battle with Satan. And in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 18, the Lord gives us some battle guards, if you will. Beginning in verse 10, the Bible says, Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you and praise you again for these modes and methods to continue to hear from your word. I pray that you would bless the listeners. I pray that you'd bless the preaching and the reading of your word. Help those, Lord, who are dealing with depression and discouragement during this time. I pray that you'd help each and every one of us to be on guard in our minds, Lord, to do battle with Satan, to not allow him to get a foothold during this time, to put on the whole armor of God, as your word instructs, and to understand exactly what that means, and to recognize the wiles of the devil, the tricks that he would play on our minds and our emotions during this time. Father, I pray that you would be with the many requests. I thank you for the time again that we were able to spend this week and the prayer requests and the prayer needs that we have listed. Lord, there are those that are struggling and those that are financially having some hardships. Again, we thank you for the blessings that we have, and we ask that you'd help us not to take any of them for granted. Help us to share in our blessings, Lord, and to look for opportunities to encourage and be a witness and a testimony for you. Again, we ask that you just bless your word today, encourage people through it, and strengthen us in our faith and our walk with you. And we'll give you the praise for all you do in Christ's name. Amen. Doing battle with Satan, for all the joys and for all the peace and happiness in the Christian life, it is still a life lived out on a spiritual battlefield. The Bible tells us in verse number 12, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. We need to understand that Satan is a strong and powerful enemy, and he has engaged in the battle for your heart, your mind, your body, and even your life. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, the Bible tells us to be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Now, I don't know about you, but growing up, or having boys growing up in your home, and having mealtimes, you see a lot of devouring. Satan's not trying to sample you. Satan's not trying to just get a piece of you. He wants to destroy you completely. His strategy is simple. He has come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. He's not wanting to help you. He's not wanting to bless you. He's not wanting to just take a part of you. He wants every bit of you. John chapter 10, verse 10 tells us, "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come," Jesus says, "that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." Jesus is the one who brings life. Jesus is the one who brings hope. Satan has a target on your back, and he has the whole world in wickedness. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 19, the Bible says, "And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness." There was a missionary who'd returned to his home in Africa only to find a huge python in his house. He ran back to his truck and he got a 45 caliber pistol, and he went back into his home and carefully entered through the door. He saw the snake and aimed with precision, firing a single shot into the snake's head. And it was a mortal blow. The reptile was hit, but didn't die instantly. The missionary actually retreated from his house because the snake began to thrash violently. The tremendous power of the snake's movement broke and damaged many items in the home. After the house finally became silent, he entered back in to find the dead snake. However, the interior of the home was a disaster, as the snake had unleashed all of its fury in those moments of death. Though now there was peace, This past week, we celebrated the resurrection of Christ. Christ died on the cross. He was buried and he rose again. And Satan received a fatal blow to his head when Christ conquered sin, death, and hell. And now, as he writhes in pain of his defeat, Satan is unleashing a few remaining destructive blows. Though he may seem dangerous, his fate is sealed. We are commanded to be strong in the world, in the Lord, to stand against the devil. James chapter 4, verse 7 says, "Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you." Therefore, every Christian must resist the devil in doing battle with Satan. First of all, because of Satan's deception. Verse number 11 of our text in Ephesians chapter 6, the Bible says, "Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." In military strategy, the failure to estimate properly the strength and capabilities of an enemy is a tragic mistake. Satan is a deceiver. The word used for wiles is the word from which we get schemes or methods, and it implies his craftiness, cunning, and deception. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 14 says, "And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light." Jesus refers to him as the father of lies. In John chapter 8, verse 44, the Bible says, "Ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it." Satan deceives. He does so by taking that which is bad and making it look good. He takes that which is false and tries to make it look true. He takes that which is wrong and tries making it look right. He takes that which is ugly and tries making it look beautiful. He tries to take that which is hurtful and make it look helpful. And he takes that which is painful and tries to make it look pleasant. But he's a deceiver. And his deception causes us to sin. And once we sin, his deception enslaves us to guilt. He has a plan to deceive us. A man is deceived if, the Bible says, he is a hearer and not a doer of the word. That's in James chapter 1, verse 22. And that's Satan's plan, to deceive you by making you a hearer of the word, but not a doer of the word. A man is also deceived if he says that he has no sin. That's 1 John chapter 1, verse 8. And again, part of Satan's plan in deception. It's not that people say they have no sin, it's just that they think they're a really good person. And really what they are saying is that they don't have sin, but they're just not saying it in those words. Again, because they're deceived by Satan. A man is deceived, the Bible says, when he thinks himself to be something when he is nothing. And that's in Galatians chapter 6, verse 3, one of our memory verses from our midweek study over the past couple months. A man is also deceived when he thinks himself to be wise with worldly wisdom. That's in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. A man is also deceived when he seems to be religious and does not bridle his tongue. That's in James chapter 1, verse 26. A man is deceived when he thinks that he will not reap what he sows. Again, that's from our memory verses, Galatians 6, verse 7. A man is also deceived when he thinks that evil company will not corrupt good morals. That's in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33. And then a man is deceived when he thinks that unrighteousness will inherit the kingdom of God. That's in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9. Satan's a deceiver. He's a liar. He tries to get people to think that things that are bad are actually good. Things that are in the end painful look pleasant. In a large city, some very creative crooks broke into a department store. And they entered the store unnoticed and stayed long enough to accomplish their mission. You might wonder what they stole, but that's the catch. They didn't take anything. Instead, these thieves switched the price tags. The tag on a $395 camera was removed and placed on a box of stationery. The $5.95 sticker on a paperback book was attached to an outboard motor. Everything was shuffled around. When the store opened the next morning, you would have expected total chaos. Surprisingly, though, the store operated just like normal for 4 hours. Some customers literally got some steals, while others felt the merchandise that they had bought was way overpriced. Incredibly, as 4 hours slipped by before the hoax was discovered, in the department store of American culture, Satan has deceptively switched the price tags. And far more than 4 hours have passed since he did it. Things are valued more than people. Pleasure is priced higher than faithfulness. Profits mean more than integrity. And God himself has been priced for clearance. The tags have been switched. And we need to sound the alarm because of Satan's deceptions. We need to battle against Satan not only because of his deceptions, but also because of his distractions. In verses 11 and 12 of our text, Ephesians 6, it says, "Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." Distractions are anything that divert, confuse, amuse, or entertain us apart from our relationship with God. Satan's not only a master deceiver, he is a master distractor. These things that take us away from a right relationship with God. He uses the lust, Satan does, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life to cause distraction. In 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17, the Bible says, "Which have forsaken the right way and are gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness, but was rebuked for his iniquity. The dumb ass, speaking with man's voice, forbade the madness of the prophet. These are wells without water, clouds that are carried with a tempest, to whom the mist of darkness is reserved forever." The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life cause distraction. All three of these appeal to either the body, the soul, or the spirit of man. The temptation is subtle, but the distraction is powerful. It may be simple and harmless, but it can lead to more serious bondage. Satan is like a good fisherman. He baits his hook according to the appetite of the fish. Jesus even acknowledged that Satan was sifting Peter like wheat. Luke chapter 22, verses 31 through 32, the Bible says, "And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren." Peter would end up denying the Lord because he feared ridicule and was overcome with fear. Today, Satan is still at work. He's still trying to distract those that would follow after Christ. He's still trying to distract those that would have a right relationship with him. He's still trying to distract from doing God's work. Very few people have not heard of the Salem witch hunts in 1692 here in America. During that year, 14 women and 6 men were executed by those who believed that they had engaged in witchcraft. Today, in Salem, Massachusetts, which has a population of around 40,000 people, there are 3,000 people who openly practice witchcraft. In 1692, the documentation and evidence of those 20 that were involved with witchcraft was historically questionable. Today, it's not only accurately documented, but tolerated as well. Satan's full of distractions. He'll do anything and everything to keep you from looking at the one who offers you salvation, the one who offers you hope, the one who offers you joy and peace, the one who strengthens and encourages you, the one who keeps you from depression and discouragement. Satan's a distractor. And not only that, we need to do battle with Satan because of Satan's destruction. Again, in our text of Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 12, the Bible says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." In the Hebrew, Satan is called Abaddon. And in the Greek, his name is Apollyon. Both of these names mean destroyer. Revelation chapter 9, verse 11, the Bible says, "And they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, but in the Greek tongue hath his name Apollyon." The scripture also calls the devil the old serpent. In Revelation chapter 12, verse 9, the Bible says, and the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. In John chapter 10, Jesus refers to Satan as the thief. First, he wants to steal from you the eternal significance of your life. He wants you to get so wrapped up in your problems, your circumstances, that you don't become what it is that God wants you to become in your life. His attack is designed to get your eyes off of Jesus. He wants to destroy your relationships. If he can't get you, he'll go after your relationships. He'll cause you to live in conflict with others and have unforgiveness and bitterness take root in your heart. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31 and 32 says, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." And he seeks to kill you. He cannot kill you without God's permission, so he will try to get you to do his work for him. Many people who commit suicide do so because they're convinced that it's the only way out. Satan has lied to them. Satan has deceived them. And he's seeking to destroy them. They've lost hope. They've lost hope in others. They've lost hope in themselves. And they've lost all hope in God. D.L. Moody told a story of one of the happiest men he ever knew, a man who lived in Dundee, Scotland, who had fallen and broken his back when he was 15 years old. He had lain on his bed for 40 years and could not be moved without a great deal of pain. And probably not a day had passed in all those years without acute suffering. Day after day, the grace of God had been granted him, and when Mr. Moody was in the room, it seemed as if he was near as heaven as he could get on earth. Mr. Moody saw him, and he thought he must be beyond the reach of the tempter, and he asked him, "Does Satan ever tempt you to doubt God and to think that he is a hard master?" "Oh yes," the man said, "he does try to tempt me. I lie here and I see my old schoolmates driving along. And Satan says, 'If God is so good, why has he kept you here all these years? You might have been a rich man riding in your carriage.' Then I see a man who was young when I was walk by in perfect health. And Satan whispers, 'If God loved you, couldn't he have kept you from breaking your back? Couldn't you have perfect health and be out doing the things that you want to do?'" Mr. Moody asked, "What do you do when Satan tempts you so?" The man replied, "I just take him to Calvary, and I show him Christ, and I point out those wounds in his hands, and in his feet, and in his side, and I say to Satan, 'Doesn't he love me?' The fact is, Satan got such a scare there nearly 2,000 years ago that he cannot stand it. He leaves me." every time. That bedridden saint of God did not have much trouble with doubts. He was too full of the grace of God. Take heed to Ephesians chapter 6. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. I'll conclude with this thought. At Scott Air Force Base in Belleville, Illinois, there's a sign that's hung, and it reads, "An untrained soldier is just a target." Paul notes the same thought in this passage here in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 18. Peter affirms this truth in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. I want to read that verse as well. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour." The adversary is looking for easy targets, and we become one every time we walk without our spiritual armor. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to resist the devil, to stand against the wiles of the devil, to do battle with Satan. Father, we do thank you. Praise you for your word. Thank you for the strength that you give us through your word. Help us during this time, Lord, to do battle. Help us not to shrink back. Help us to be emboldened, to be encouraged, to strengthen and embolden and help others. Lord, help us to seek opportunities to be a witness and a testimony for you, and an encourager of the brethren, Lord, to lift each other up, to point others to Christ, and to be reminded that when Satan would try to deceive us, that when he would try to destroy us, that all we have to do is take him to the cross and remind him that his fate's already been sealed. God, we give you the praise and thanks for your many blessings. Pray you'd bless your people. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.